What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. And how do you get the understanding? By praying for the interpretation. You pray in the spirit, you pray in the understanding. God gives you interpretation. Oh, you pray in the spirit, you pray in the understanding. You sing in the spirit, you sing in the understanding. You start hearing what God's saying through you. You're praying in the spirit, you're singing in the spirit, and all of a sudden you're worshiping God. And you're worshiping him, and words are coming out, and you're saying, somebody write this down, somebody record this, this sounds good. I'm going to forget this in about a few seconds. I wish I had my record button. Amen? By the time you find a pen, and you stopped it all. But God was listening, and your spirit was communing with him. That's a little taste, because we're told the Holy Spirit is given to us as an earnest. That is a down payment of what we will experience in heaven. And if you're going through this life with the Holy Spirit bottled up in you, but you're keeping the cork in and you're not letting any of it out, you're not spending time building up your faith and your understanding, you're not enjoying the gift and saying, oh, I can't wait till I get there. My worship time with him is getting better and better every day. Oh, my. I thought there was a whole host of angels praising God with me. Because when we get in his presence, if it was possible, some Christians are going to get up there so dry and so bottled up that they're going to practically explode in his presence. How beautiful and wonderful it is, because they haven't experienced it yet. Experience it now. Get in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Let him talk to you and build you up. How many times were the disciples filled with the spirit? Okay, we got one person saying one time. Anybody else? Same thing? Everybody agree? Everybody agree? All right. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? Well, you know, the disciples, when they were out there praying and they were out there teaching on Jesus, the religious leaders weren't pleased. And they brought them in and they were going to really go after them. And Acts 4:18 says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. This was the Sanhedrin. That's the Supreme Court of Israel and the high priests. Now, when you go further to Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, this was after they had gone back to the other disciples, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all spoke the word of God with boldness. So how many times were they filled? Numerous. We get so excited when someone comes to the altar and they get filled with the Spirit. We go, ha, they got it, and out the door. What about you? Are you letting the Lord refill you? Are you letting the Lord pour into you again? How many of you have a water bottle or a container? It's good water, right? This is a, was it Contigo? Metal container here. It's got a lid. It's got a clasp. I can open it and I can close it. What if I leave this sitting out for a couple weeks? It's still water. I open it up and start taking a drink of it. What if I let it sit out a couple months? What if I leave the top open and let it sit outside for a few days? It's still got water in it. Anybody want a drink then? Why not? Things get stale. Things aren't the same as they were. When you get filled with the Spirit, you either use it up, you don't refill it. You need to continually be filled with the Spirit. All right? So that you can continually be praying in the Spirit and the understanding. So you can receive the fullness of what he wants you to receive. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That sounds like one time, right? Guess what? in the Greek, the be filled actually means full, fullness, and even keep on being filled. How many of you know some major ministers of the gospel by name? Jimmy Swaggart, what are some others off the top of your head? Kenneth Copeland, other ministers of the gospel. Who? Joyce Myers, who else? Oral Roberts, who else? Jesse Duplantis, Billy Graham, okay, ministers of the gospel, right? Do you know who points out this fact here about keep on being filled with the Spirit in their book? Billy Graham. That being filled with the Holy Spirit is a continual process. Keep on being filled. You would have thought some of the others that are Pentecostal leaders, that would have been in their book. Billy Graham, in his book on the Holy Spirit, talks about the church is missing out by not taking in the gift that God has given the church, the body. And when he talks about this verse, he talks about to keep on being filled is the actual translation of that be filled. Keep on being filled. How many times have you heard the song about, I want to be under the spout where the glory's poured out? You ever heard that? Think about it. Do you want to be over in the corner where the waters barely sprinkle, or do you want to be over right under the fountain where it's just pouring out? Think of a waterfall coming down a mountain and you're standing underneath it, all that water crashing on you. Think about that being the Holy Spirit. You think you could stand, or would you be on your knees? That's what it's talking about, to continually be filled. It's not a, you got it in 1982, or you got it in 1935. Whoever's listening online that's old enough to have received the Holy Spirit back then. But you haven't done a thing with it since. Do you really want to uncork that bottle? Let's let the Lord fill you up. And as he fills you up, over and over and over again. You get into Ezekiel and you talk about the rivers to swim in. Water to the ankle, water to the knees, water to the thighs, and rivers to swim in. You ever been to the ocean? There's some people that step off into water just so it's across their ankles. And there, hey, Charlie Tuna's cousins are out there in that water. I'm not going any further. Here, I can get out of the water quick enough. Well, the people in the church, that same way. I'm comfortable to get this far into God. You all can get out there and swim and dance and sing and shout, but I'm going to stay here. Okay, your toes are going to get all the blessing because you're only in the water that deep. Get to where you can feel comfortable swimming in what the Holy Spirit's doing. But you do that by praying in the Spirit. And that's your prayer languages. That's your time alone with God because it's you talking to God. And you edify yourself. But when you are in a ministry gift and you're praying and the Spirit's pouring out in you to speak a tongue in the message, in the service, and either you or somebody gives the interpretation, now you're edifying everybody. And that's the difference between the two. One is to edify you, to build you up and build up your holy faith. So pray in tongues often, as Paul said. Paul said, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than all of you. Pray in tongues often. Speak in tongues. Pray that God might even use you in the ministry of tongues and interpretation in the service, because then the body gets edified. And what is the body supposed to be built up? To grow up into the mature man, into all the fullness of Christ, right? How do we do that? Through one person leading? Through one person having everything God wants to say to that group? Guess what? If that one person gets off, where's everybody else go? With them. We talked about that, about cults and things. Guess what? God has his checks and balances. His Spirit, He chooses. He doesn't say, okay, you're the minister, so you're getting it all. You got all nine gifts, and everybody else just has to sit back and do what you say. There are churches out there that believe that. If you're not a minister, if you're not ordained by this organization, you don't speak in this church. That's not what happens here. I'm looking for God to move by his Spirit to where we have somebody, we're in service, and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you've got the word today. You speak it. God's moving through you. And see great and mighty things happen. See God move in hearts and lives. I'm expecting this to blow out the back doors and have a black wall and have this moved out, and then to have to build a building, get a different building, a larger one, and start having places where we put people's crutches, we put people's wheelchairs, we put people's back braces and things they had to take off because God healed them and they didn't take them home with them. They're wheeled in, but they run out. Tell them what God's done. How does that happen? We move in the Holy Spirit. We move according to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, does that come from the person standing up here? Does that come from the body? He pours out the gifts on the body. And you may be sitting out there and you may be saying, not me. You won't catch me doing that. Probably not. Because God says he wants a willing heart and a willing soul. Guess what? How would you like to stand before God and him say, remember this day? Remember this day? Remember this day when I just really kept twisting your arm during service? Please say this message. Please be used by this gift. And you stood there, knees locked and teeth clenched. I'm not saying a thing. I'm standing here and somebody else is going to have to give it. And he says, you know, there was somebody in that group that was saying, these preachers are all touched in the head. But if a regular person would say something like this, I might believe it, God, because these people up here are paid to say it. But these people out here, every one of them believe like I do. And I wanted you to say it because you're out there. And they would have identified with you. And I was going to call them out in the message all the way down, everything they were thinking, coming from your mouth, knowing they didn't know you. You didn't know them from Adam. But you didn't. How would you like to stand before God if that was the case? I don't want to. Younger life, I've been in services where I've stood there and it's like, not me, God, not me. Please give it to somebody else. And then I felt bad because he did. And I know I'm going to stand before him for it. I've asked him for forgiveness. I'm sure he gave it to me. But that doesn't change the fact that he wanted to use me at that time. Well, he's using me now. He's using me in many ways now. I've had to tell him, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And he's using me. Thank God. So be continually filled. Keep on being filled. Don't just be filled once. I got it. That's all I need. No, you're missing it. That was just the start. Let it keep happening. Just get full of all that he has. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, you may think, okay, let's talk about prophecy. We talked about that a week or so ago. A couple weeks ago, we talked about prophecy. I want you to think about something. Someone speaks in tongues. Someone else interprets. Speaking in tongues plus interpretation is equal to prophecy in this case. Because the tongues and interpretation edifies the church. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the church. Who gets the reward in heaven for being obedient? The one who spoke in tongues that nobody understood, or the one who spoke in interpretation that everybody understood and got edified, got built up in their holy faith? I thank God that he measures out the rewards. I'm sure it's going to be equal. But I found that interesting, that 1 Corinthians 14:4 is showing us that speaking in tongues interpretation is equal to a prophecy. So if you have prophets in the group, they should be testing to see if that interpretation is true. Is that what God's saying to that prophet? Yes. I validate. That's what God's saying. Maybe the person says, I was going to get up and say the same thing before they start speaking in tongues and interpretation. That's exactly what God had given me to say. And now you've got out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. See how God works? How can a cult leader grow in something like that when God's moving through the body? It's very difficult. God keeps unity in the body by using the body. He doesn't have one cell here running the whole thing. He's got all of us working together. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. That solidifies tongues, interpretation, equaling prophecy. Because prophecy and interpretation bring edification. The goal is not to see how many sermons I can preach, how many minutes I can preach, how long I can go, and how many people can fall asleep. The goal is how much do the people in the congregation grow?
Yes.
How much do you get from where you were last week to where you are today? Because this is not the ministry location. This place that we meet is not the ministry location. It's the assembly point to get built up, strengthened, to have the ammunition to go out there where the people live. That's what the buildup and the edification is for. So that you go, God, you can use me. I can do that. And then you go try it. You go, I'm scared spitless out here. But this is what we heard. This is what we taught. This is what I've been praying about. And you get the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord or pray for someone and see him healed or more. And all of a sudden, God's doing something. And he's using you. He's not using the preacher. I've told many times about the mentality of people in the church has been, I'm just a sheep. I'm just a poor little sheep. I'm sitting over here. You want to do something, you want prayers to be answered, you call the shepherd. When I was pastoring up in North Dakota, the parsonage phone rang a lot. And usually it was the same person on the other end. And it started off, Pastor, I got this problem. Pastor, my kid's this. Pastor, my grandkid's that. Pastor, what do I do about this? We handled every one of those problems the way they came across. And we dealt with them and helped that person pray about them. And we took them to God in prayer. But as that person was in my Sunday school class and learning one Sunday about prayer, and that God hears your prayer. And something about, as we taught on the Lord's Prayer as an outline to prayer. If you're praying, you're praying these ways. You know these are the things that you'll be doing in prayer. This is how you can know that you're reaching God and finding his will and praying according to his will, because God's word says these things. Kind of the way we go through Ephesians. I take one verse, but I go all over the place to validate that one verse. We did that. And one day she goes, you mean, Pastor? You mean I can pray for my kids that are out in the world, and I can pray for my grandkids, and I can see God do something because I prayed? I just saw the light bulb come on over her head. Her face lit up. And I said, exactly. Well, this is the same woman that she'd stand up to testify in service, and it was like Eeyore pulling that black cloud with her. She'd start, if we'd have a great service, the Spirit's moving, and have a testimony time, and she'd stand up, and it's like this, and oh, I barely got here. And you're like, oh my goodness, you just felt your body getting heavy, standing there trying to listen to this. She went from that lady to realizing that she could pray for herself and pray for the things God says in his word and see things happen. She became the biggest prayer warrior of that church. All of her little grandkids that were living with her, because her kids were out doing other things, so they were living with grandma, they became little prayer warriors so we could see fruit of her prayer life because her grandkids started doing it. They would start coming up to you in service and they would lay hands on you and pray for you. And remember, people slain in the spirit when these little kids prayed for people. So we knew the grandmother's fruit was being modeled in the kids, because they come to me, Pastor, can I go up to the upper room? Now, right back about in the middle of the church here, in that church, we had a set of stairs that went up to what used to be a bell tower. You still had that steep old bell tower, but it had all been closed in, and it actually carpeted on the walls and benches around the walls. It wasn't that big up there, but I said, I don't want you playing up there. No, we're going to pray. And they go up there, and you could hear noises up there and stuff. But when they came down for service, they were the most on fire when service started. Oh, my gosh, because they'd been up there for 30 minutes praying instead of downstairs in the basement of the church playing tag. They'd been up seeking the face of God. They were ready for service when service started. When it came time for the altar, they were the first ones down there, because she got the idea, I can pray. I can pray in the spirit. I can pray in the understanding. I can understand what God's saying, and I can see things happen. Her family turned upside down because she was edified. What if the rest of us were like that? And we all took that same kind of thing, got deeper than we already are. Where could we be tomorrow, next week? Amen? We all watched that movie, War Room. We saw how that transformed that woman's life, because she started getting in the Word. She started getting in prayer. She started getting in time alone with God. That's what your prayer language does, is it puts you in touch with Him in those moments. So the church is edified when interpretation occurs with the gift of tongues. Let's go to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 6. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? The interpretation, as we'll talk about next week, the tongues are not profitable when it's still in tongues, because we don't understand it. It's the interpretation that comes with it that makes it edifying to us. So when there's a person in service that's speaking in tongues in a message, and we all stand there, and we stand there, and no one has the interpretation, and we come back the next week and it's the same crowd of people, that person, if they start getting the message in tongues, unless they find out that somebody has the interpretation, they're not supposed to speak, because it's unedifying to the body. It's out of order. Now, it's very possible that somebody in the group had chosen not to interpret, but God still wanted the message to come out, and He keeps wanting to come out, and He's wanting that person to do it. Then we have a different issue to talk about. But it won't be talked about in public. God will have to talk to that person on their own. But the point is, all things decently in order. The gift of different kinds of tongues is to build us all up, just like a prophecy does. Anybody here not received a personal prophecy, or received a prophecy that really hit them about life? How many have received one? Are there any promises in this book that haven't occurred yet? That's a prophecy. Where are you planning on spending eternity? In heaven? Right? When are you planning on going? When He comes to get you, either through the grave or through the air, right? That's a prophecy. So you've received prophecy. You're living expecting the prophecy to be fulfilled, because it's in the Word, right? The same thing will happen during a service, for the time, for the moment, for the purpose, for a person, for a specific event. I'm going to go to the Phillips translation of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22 through 25. Now, the Phillips translation is a little different than other translations, but this actually plays out some things, or says some things, in a unique way. That means that tongues are a sign of God's power, not to those who are unbelievers, but to those who already believe. Preaching the word of God, on the other hand, is a sign of God's power to those who do not believe, rather than to believers. Now, do you get that? Speaking in tongues is a sign to us who already believe. Preaching is a sign to an unbeliever. Okay? Does that mean it's not assigned to you too? It is. Preaching is still assigned to you. It still resonates with you. But it says it's assigned to the unbeliever of God's power to those who do not believe rather than believers. So that if at a full church meeting you are all speaking with tongues and men come in who are both uninstructed and without faith, will they not say that you're insane? But if you are preaching God's word and such a man should come into your meeting, he's convicted and challenged by your united speaking of the truth. His secrets are exposed and he will fall on his knees acknowledging God and saying that God is truly among you. Speaking in tongues is assigned to the believer. It's for the believer. A message in tongues for the believer. The interpretation is to edify the believer. But it also can be just like this. It can be the very thing that calls out the very secret things in that unbeliever's heart. They go, oh my goodness, how did that person know that? So when we get into talking about interpretation, we'll talk about more of that. So you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. After you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability for the Holy Spirit to use you in any one of these gifts. Now, more than likely, you're not going to start prophesying the moment you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. More than likely. I'm not saying that won't happen, because it's as he wills. But don't know what that did. But wait just a second, because I'm going to have to trim that out of the deal. Is it on? Are you getting me? Testing. You're still getting me. Okay. Ringing ends from our ears. It actually sounds like the volume level went down. So first of all, as we're going through being taught and the words taught to somebody, whether it's through the speaking in tongues, interpretation, or through a prophecy, or straight from preaching, it brings that person to their knees to say, God is among you. Because they cannot figure out how you would know this or know that. Okay? So we've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit filled with other tongues. We've got the prayer language, which is something you can turn on and turn off. You can start praying immediately in that. You don't have to wait for the Spirit to move on you and give you a special gift. Then there's the gift of different kinds of tongues, which the Holy Spirit actually imparts to you for that moment at that time. So you have three different instances there, and that's where people wrap them all up as just tongues. And it gets confusing. And when it gets confusing, people say, that's all. That's strange. I don't understand it. Well, that's where we need to dig into the Word like this, to understand what the Word says about it. Because we should have messages in the service. We should have something edifying and building up. We should have signs and wonders happening because God confirms his word. And we have had. We've had healings in here. We've had people that started coming because somebody else came and the word got to them and we didn't put the card out. Amen? We've had things happen. But they don't need to stop here. Holy Spirit wants to move. But guess what? Holy Spirit will only let me teach and preach as far as you're willing to receive. I ask and charge all of you to spend time praying in the Spirit this week. Pray for your pastors. Because I need to hear from God for what he wants to say to you. But pray in the Spirit and the understanding so that you're built up in your holy faith. So that your faith is increased. You may come in with a testimony. Hey, guess what? I'm doing this. God said this. I was reading this. And you just preached that. And this is, amen. I mean, excited. You can't even get your words out. Amen. How many had a prayer answered this week? How many had something come up that turned around and you're like, that was a God moment. Amen? I was on the way to a chaplain meeting this morning, and I'm a member of the executive leadership team of the chaplains here in the city. And as I was on the way, I had a few miles to drive, and so I was praying about a certain situation that we've asked God for in the chaplains program. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I started speaking specifically about, I prayed in the Spirit for a while, and I prayed in the understanding. I was speaking specifically about, and Lord, let it happen this way, or through these people, or through these people. Get the word out and get these people involved to where this will happen. After the meeting, two of us chaplains were left, and we were going to the restaurant. The last two were going to pay, and we're in a jovial mood. And I said, oh, by the way, threw over my shoulder at him as I was getting to hand my card to the lady. I said, by the way, I've been praying about this situation, and that God would open the door through any one of these avenues. And the gal behind the register punching stuff up, she goes, so tell me, this thing that you're needing, how do you intend to get it? And I said, well, we're praying for this so we can have this, and we can use this within the ministry of the chaplains, and it's a tool that we need that we don't have. It'll expand our ministry. And she goes, well, I've got a family member that works in this area, in that type of thing. Can I have a phone number, a contact? I'll go talk to them and see, because I know they've done something like this before. Maybe they can do something. I don't know this person from anybody. But it's one of the ways that I said, God, this way or that way or this way. That happened within an hour's time of me praying. I'm waiting for the phone call now to say, hey, we've got this situation under control. When do you want to come pick it up? That just happened this morning. But when you pray, believe what you have when you ask, right? When you pray in the Spirit, you pray in the understanding. God gave me the way to pray about that situation. Because he already had that person there. It could have been any number of people taking that register that morning. But God had that person there. Now I'm looking forward to the fruit of that answer. Amen? Amen. When you pray, believe what you're praying for. Did you go to your parents and say, you think maybe, well, I need my allowance, but I really don't deserve it, so I think I'll go back to my room. And your parents say, huh, that was easy. Keep that money in my pocket. Or do you go to God and say, hey, God, I've got this need. And he says, all right. I just love it when you ask. I was getting ready to come and find you and give it to you anyway. But, hey, this is even better. But you can do that better when you know the will of God. So pray the will of God by praying in the Spirit. Pray for the understanding. And then pray in Scripture. Find that in the Word. Amen. Was this helpful? Okay. As we do the our closing, the Perkit Kohanim, which is the priestly blessing, remember, God says, pray this over my people, to Aaron and his sons. Pray this way, in this way, over my people, and I will put my name on them. And I will bless them. So these three verses, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, first in Hebrew and then in English, let this resonate in you. And take these three blessings and know that you receive all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings through Christ Jesus. Yes. Ephesians, I think it's 1, 3 or something. You receive all of them. This is some of them. Amen.
Yeverich echad Adonai v'yishmurecha Yad Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'esham Lecha Shalom.
Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us in the Spirit, the edification that you've given us. And I pray the word tonight would go deep within us. And I pray that each one let this grow into a bumper crop, that the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the love of the Spirit just wrap up in our lives and this whole world be turned upside down by what you're doing in this body. Lord, take everybody to our homes. Bring us back at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.